Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You bought a cow, Nate.
Actually, I did buy a whole cow's tongue, but that's another story. I really did. It's horrible. It looks like something that's come off a sprue of Tyranids and then 3D printed at real size. I hate it. No, the real news is, and I often feel I'm a little behind on some of the games news. So I thought I'd just show my news chops today. And I got Ashley to write down a page of very exciting news about Korean pop group BTS not joining the army in the same order as she thought they were going to. And I thought the attempt to summarise that might sound unhinged enough to be entertaining.
Okay, go for it.
So it's 18 months compulsory military service in Korea, or 26 if you're doing like social volunteering, I think. But anyway, there's three in the army at the moment, out of seven. But now the other four are all going to enlist at once. And they're called RM, standing for Research Machines, V, Jimin and Jungkook. So those are the five. They're all going to be in the army at once. And apparently that's like when the Cataclysm expansion dropped for World of Warcraft. And she's even drawn a small picture for me now of BTS, their stick figures. Three of them have army hats, four of them have freshly shaved heads, and they're being felt by the already enlisted members of BTS. Not in a creepy way, apparently it is a tradition when you're enlisted that everyone feels your freshly shorn scalp.
Okay, right.
So I even have a picture to go with this news story, and that was the news.
I feel informed.
Good.
That is a big deal, though. Like, imagine it being in the 90s and Westlife just all joined the army. It's a strange
imagine
thing to
if
go.
You were like, yeah, if you're about to like do a war, like a firefight, fucking Brian from Westlife, screaming like a banshee. Runs down the hill at you.
It's take that in 1992, but Robbie Williams is selected to pilot a mech against a ruthless alien invasion force. Actually, he would love that.
Pacific Rim, but like Robbie and Gary have to learn how to
No, massive aircraft carrier-sized Jaeger with all of NSYNC having to move in sync to pilot it. Wow.
Oh, God. All right, Guillermo, that's your next film. I want it by 2025. What a sequel that would be. This is the Electronic Wireless Show, Season 2, Episode 39, Rock, Paper, Shotgun's PC Gaming Podcast, and the only podcast you need, in my opinion, which is that of Alice Bell. It is not, in fact, a pop star-themed week, but we can sort of make it that, I suppose. I don't know. We're going to talk about GTA 6 this week. Rather than
you best start believing in K-pop podcasts. You're in one.
We should try and do what I am very impressed by K-pop bands.
Yeah, the lore the first... I pick up on a weekly basis is wild.
I will first apologise for the quality of my mic. I'm not using my usual mic. We shall try and return to normal services as soon as possible. But yeah, for now, I'm on a rubbish mic. And I do apologise. Yeah, as I said, we're going to talk about GTA 6 because Rockstar has awoken from its thousand-year slumber, as was foretold. But I thought first, I just wanted to check in with the Gobies, Nate, because it's been a while.
Oh, the Gobes, actually. So there's now two main populations. There's the ones in the hot tank and the ones in the cold tank. So I'm doing an experiment running a generation at like OG like Gobi boiler temperatures and another at like sane UK winter room temperature. And yeah, so that's going to be interesting. I don't know if I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I've got a new friend as well. The tank on my desk is now, I've got a 30 litre hexagonal tank, which is kind of like a tall column, and I've grown, there's a nice sort of soft leafed shrubby underwater plant called Bucephalus that I've grown over some wood, so it's got like a big topiary in it. And there's a little sort of grubby white betta fish in there called Henry W. Cavill, and the W stands for Warhammer.
Oh, lovely. Oh, good old Henners.
Yeah,
I hope so he's doing well.
Vitamin H is real and present.
Do gobies prefer one temperature of water to another?
Well, this is what I want to discover, because it's
like, just like one half. Is one half of the gobies having a really nice time and the other is just suffering horribly?
I think it's just different ways of suffering.
Have you created a two-tier society for your gobies?
You know those Chinese hot pot restaurants where you can get like there's a cauldron of soup in the centre of the table.
Yeah.
And you can sometimes have two different soups. That's like the Gobi soul, you know. They like it hot, they like it cold, they just like to live and fight and die. It's, you know.
I'm just writing down, it's just different ways of suffering. <Very good. laughs>
You know Jason Statham in the film Crank? Like,
yes. Oh boy, do I.
That's a pretty good model for understanding Gobies, because they can have a normal life, but basically as you turn the temperature up, just... they get turned up.
Okay. Yeah, I getcha.
So yeah, it's a thermometer is basically the intensity dial for a tank of gobies.
Good. Okay. That sort of works on people as well, I suppose. James, normal weekend for you?
Actually, no.
That was just my little joke, listener. I know it was an abnormal weekend for James.
Oh yeah, so Nate, I don't think you know this, but yeah,
no,
I got engaged.
Excuse me.
I got engaged on
splendid.
Friday night. Oh, thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to be Mr. James Archer Senglaver or Senglave. I think it's the way
I'd
of doing
learn,
it. But...
I'd learn to pronounce her name.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. No.
Do you have a good day to wed hard in the diary yet?
No, God, all of this is like massively overwhelming. Like, it's kind of like a cycle where you think, I like to get married like at this time of year, but then you look at the venues and you see, oh, maybe it's better to do it this time. But then you look at the venues and you think, oh, well, is the location right? Can we get food there? Like, do people have to travel, etc., etc., etc.?
Yeah.
So it's a bit. Yeah, it's a bit like that. It's a bit like that. Me sowing versus me reaping tweet. It's like me getting engaged. Hell yeah, this rocks. Me having to plan a wedding. What? This sucks. What?
I'll give you three tips for free. Right.
Yeah.
50 tickets for Dudley Zoo. 2 cardboard boxes of samosas. 1 grand behind the bar at a Chinese restaurant. Sorted.
Can I have my wedding officiated by a gorilla with a Neuralink chip in it?
He comes down the zip line, gives a sermon, and expires.
Crashes at your feet. Yeah. And you can eat him. And he can eat your entree.
Gorillas in the mints.
Ah! I love that Nate received the news of your engagement like a whimsical chocolate factory owner being presented with a new kind of cocoa. Excellent.
Oh, that's lovely. That's just lovely.
Oh, look, he sprouted also, wings.
I must apologise as well, because a few weeks ago, this preamble has gone on a long time. We will get to talking about GTA 6, listener. But a few weeks ago, when you were away, Nate, I made a joke about... I asked James, have you ever committed to a bit with, you know, the same intensity as someone making a fake video game, like Simpsons video game, and he said no, and then I was like, oh, that sucks for your girlfriend.
Yeah, I couldn't fucking say anything, because it would have ruined my plans.
Like, as I was ragging on you for being a shit non-committed boyfriend, you had an engagement ring in your pocket.
Yeah. She listens to the podcast as well, so I was like,
tugs collar.
That is absolutely remarkable. That's like the scene in Metal Gear Solid where he has to walk through the microwave without grimacing.
Anyway, you know who is committed? Get married in GTA, James.
Hang on, let's come up with an alternative acronym. So, Great Times Ahead 6.
Great Times Ahead.
Ooh, that is splendid.
Excellent. The first GTA 6 trailer. I hate announcements for trailers. The trailer is an announcement. The first GTA 6 trailer will launch in early December, so soon. And there have been rumblings. Fans have been sort of conspiracy theorizing. They were really desperate. We've reported this in a number of posts on rockpapershotgun.com, they were describing the movement of planes in random GTA promotional art as evidence of forthcoming GTA 6 reveal, time to intersect with the waning gibbous moon.
Oh, and then there was the cowboy devil man, and they looked at the negative space in the image and saw a Roman numeral 6, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's like medieval like apocalypse cult. It's great.
I love it. I genuinely, the fans of this game that doesn't, you know, we don't know anything about yet, have become like Wiccans. Just kind of throwing runes of their own, you know, construction and deciding what stuff means. So it's really fun. If you the link to the story will be in the show notes. Edwin, our news editor, pointed out one question all this raises is to what degree people are taking the piss. It's obvious some of the rumour mongers are in it for the lulz, but the ratio of pranksters to true believers is hard to pin down. But whatever the case, there is going to be a new GTA 6 trailer before 2023 is out, posting on Zitter. The developer's co-founder, Sam Hauser, wrote that we are very excited to let you know that in early December we will release the first trailer for the next Grand Theft Auto. Now, I wanted to talk about GTA 6. I wanted to get some predictions, given that our predictions for the Steam OLED were so bang on. I thought it would be fun to talk about what we want, what we expect, for what we hope from GTA 6. But also, you know, there's some other stuff to take into account. So the GTA 6 publisher CEO thinks that video game prices are very, very low for what they offer. In an earnings call this week, GTA 6 publisher Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick had a bit to say about the eternally uncontroversial topic of video game prices, which returns, seasons change as time goes by, and everyone talks about the prices. He cautioned one investor against generalizing about the state of game pricing based on the reach of fortunes of TV and movie subscription services like Netflix. He shared a little Take-Two's own methodology for calculating video game prices. In terms of pricing for any entertainment property, basically the algorithm is the value of the expected entertainment usage, which is to say the per hour value times the number of expected hours plus the terminal value is received by the customer in ownership.
Sorry.
The relationship between what you get per hour, how many hours you expect to get it, and what you perceive to be the overall value of the thing you're playing. So he thinks that video games are underpriced, but there's not necessarily, I think, you know, going to be a huge markup for GTA 6. But they did also, it came out that they, Rockstar, had, the developer Rockstar, had once planned a zombie survival island using the GTA Vice City code, but it was too depressing. Which again, I will link to it in the show notes. Edwin said, it sounds like a mixture of GTA Vice City and Legendary Armor mod DayZ, according to former technical director who joined Rockstar North in 1995, back when it was called DMA Design, and he left in 2009 following the release of GTA 4. GTA 4, I thought, was pretty depressing.
Hang on, this... So is this like Red Dead Undead Nightmare, but for Vice City? Because, like, synthwave zombies would have been pretty good.
Kinda. He started blogging about the development of several Rockstar games, from GTA through to Manhunt and to Council Project, like the zombie game that never got made. And it's an interesting blog if you're interested in Rockstar development in general. Check it out. Again, we'll link to it. After Vice City, he said, after Vice City in 2002, there was a sense within North that it would be nice to do something else, something that wasn't GTA. Some of the artists wanted to do a zombie survival game. Programmers like fantasy, artists like zombies.
Ooh, discuss. Wow.
Yeah, right? So, first of all, let's do some big swing prediction for GTA 6. Where is it going to be set? We've done the sort of LA, you know, Silicon Valley analog. What are we gonna be doing this time?
They're never gonna move it out of the States, are they? You know, for a big old game like this.
I would love it if they did, and I think they should do Glasgow. But you are correct. I don't think they will.
Oh, Glasgow would be special, yeah.
Yeah.
Cardiff. Just regional capitals in the UK.
Liverpool.
Newcastle.
You could have loads of Beatles shit. They'd love that.
Rome. Rome would be a lovely destination, but...
You could do all mafia stuff.
I think the problem is, like, knowing what the humour's like in the game, the instant you moved it out of America, it would just become, like, uncomfortable. Like, even more uncomfortable. Because the satire would be pointed, like, elsewhere other than at the US.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a good thing.
Maybe it's a good thing. I feel like they might do, because they've done sort of New York, they've done kind of, you know, they've done like LA. I feel like they might go deep south.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'd be more interested in that than them just doing what the rumor is that they're just going to do Vice City again, like i.e. Miami.
Of course, Miami they've done, yeah.
I don't really want them to just like cycle through the same three cities over and over again.
I think they might. I was just thinking like all the Southwest stuff that's been in vogue since Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul is all covered by.
Yeah.
I mean that's all around sort of Los Santos anyway, isn't it? I was a big San Andreas guy, and I remember that's like crammed in the southwestern states to California to produce the wider map. I can't remember what's the case. I don't know.
I would love them to do a different... Yeah, I'd love them to go deep south and, like, you know, like a Louisiana or something like that, you know, or a Narlands. Is that deep south still? Geographically, I'm not very good at classifying the United States.
Pacific Northwest would be a laugh.
Yeah.
Because like, then you could extend that north into like Vancouver and British Columbia. Because like Canada's a very interesting place and gets underrepresented. And you know, you've got a border there for exciting things to happen on. You've got Bigfoot, definitely lives there.
That's technically going out of the US, and I think like Americana is kind of like a big part of GTA.
Yeah, that's
just like the whole mood.
Can I pause to interrogate the definitely lives there about Bigfoot there though?
That's his ends, isn't it? The Pacific Northwest.
Is Bigfoot like a missing link?
Bigfoot's impossible because there's never been primates in North America, but I still like to pretend that's not the case because just the idea of large apes is always a good one.
Fair. You're a large apes fan. We know that about you.
Great team.
So, James, the rumour is Vice City again, right?
Yeah, apparently. There was some footage that air quote leaked a while back, which allegedly was like actual test footage of GTA 6, and it was set in Vice City. You play as this like Bonnie and Clyde like burglar couple who shoot up a Denny's or something. It didn't look that interesting to me, assuming it's representative of what they were working on at the time. But yeah, I've never been big into GTA in general, to be honest. I kind of have a problem with the fact that you always play as an asshole.
Right.
It's fiction. Like it's supposed to be satire, I guess. But there's always like a pretty bad disconnect between the game telling me to go somewhere and do this and do that, and me hating my character and wanting to see him like fail miserably in his goals.
It's I've always thought it's been pretty mean-spirited from a narrative point of view. To put it bluntly.
I know people like to say, you know, it's an amazing satire and stuff. It's not particularly like advanced or like subtle satire.
No.
I don't think it's bad, but it's not like when you're playing GTA you have one archly, you know, cocked eyebrow.
Touché, society.
Exactly, yeah.
Wasted.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm mid into GTA. It was always that game that like the teenage boys were into. And then when I worked in a game store, which I did, when I worked in game, I was the nemesis of all the little boys that came in. Because they'd come in with like their mum and be like, oh yeah, this is what everyone has. And then I would have to have the most awkward conversations with the mum ever and be like, it is up to you. obviously, so you can engage in hiring a prostitute, while this fucking 12-year-old was fuming and watching my death.
Well, I sunk a lot of time into San Andreas, like I said, in the beginning of the 2000s, and I don't know how that would have aged for me, but I know one thing I'd agree with today is that was exactly as silly as I wanted an open world game to be. I think Saints Row franchise was always too zany for me, and other GTA games were a little bit po-faced. I don't know, just the mood of San Andreas always sat just about right for me. And I would be, like I say, I don't know how some of the edginess would have aged, but certainly that level of tongue-in-cheek, I think, is comfortable.
Yeah.
But I doubt that's going to be that level of tongue-in-cheek these days. I don't know.
I tried, like, because the thing is, what is the dominant culture that you'd satire? I think it sort of still is, Silicon Valley and LA and California, basically, isn't it? Or am I wrong?
I guess with Miami, you've got the whole sort of Florida man
That's meme true.
Going from strength to strength, just, you know, like, just, and of course there was the, what was the AI image of the massive bloke drop kicking an alligator that had huge Florida man energy? That's been a meme recently. I don't know, maniacs in deep Florida. And do you know what, actually, looking at the deep south, I mean, you know, Florida is the cartilaginous proboscis on the goblin of the south.
Yeah.
After all. Yeah. So if you were going to do an embiggened Vice City, I may be exposing my ignorance, they may have done this before, but it feels like you could pack a lot of the south into the surrounding area in the same way as the sort of southwest desert, Southern California stuff in San Andreas, which would be nice. Well, actually, yeah. Not unlike the geography of Red Dead 2, I suppose, because you could bio out quite heavily in there. Yeah, it'd be nice to see some swamps.
Do you think you'll play GTA 6, Nate, or are you just more Red Dead energy these days?
I think there's absolutely no doubt about it. Like, the setting and the mood of Red Dead appeals to me way more. I do like... I'd be interested to see if I have the same patience for doing things like stacking up loads of fighter planes on a very tall building and jumping off in slow motion while they blow up behind me. I used to like doing things like that. I've come close to getting GTA 5 about probably 12 times since it's come out. So who knows? Maybe this time will be the time.
You must be the only person in the world to have not bought GTA 5.
I might be. In fact, there could be a price on my head now. Maybe Rockstar's waiting for me to buy GTA 5 before saying our work here is done and releasing 6.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So as long as I hold out. It.
James, are you interested in GTA 6? I'm not really a GTA fan.
I mean, I'm sure I'll have to play it for work, and I'll give it a fair shake. Because I don't know, like, apparently loads of people love these games, so there must be like something. Mm. Must be something in there. So yeah, I'll give it a crack. Like I say, it'd be nice to. I'd like to see GTA do a kind of like almost like a tragedy, in that you don't start like you don't start off as this odious prick. You can, I don't know, maybe you start off as like you're forced into a life of crime, and it's more of like a downfall situation.
Okay,
I will say Rockstar are good at creating moods and vibes, so. I think they do have like the storytelling chops to pull it off if they wanted to. But at the same time, people don't seem to have the problem I do. They seem to like doing all the instant murder.
I do think that would be fun. That is essentially a Walter White story, isn't it? So maybe there were.
It wouldn't have to be depressing. Like, it could still be. It still have this like GTA heightened reality thing where you have these oddball characters, and maybe everyone around you is a scumbag, sure, but yeah, I don't know. I can care more about the setting. It's more about I care more about like what you actually who you are and what you do.
And what's the largest aeroplane?
I did always start each time I played a GTA game. I would start by obeying all the normal traffic laws, so I would like break at red lights and stuff. And
why is that such an exhilarating thing to do? Because it is, isn't it? It never lasts, I don't know. I think that's potentially one of the most euphoric 90 seconds in gaming. It's just attempting to roleplay a normal car in GTA.
Yeah.
There's something so transgressive. Night. Yeah.
I think it's because, you know, like when you engage in play in a video game, a lot of the time you're being, the power fantasy is you're being silly and you know, dicky about. But in GTA, it is as you say, transgressive to be a normie.
It's the mundane is aspirational. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, jolly good. I mean, is there like a big swing that you think they definitely won't do, but you would really like them to do in GTA 6?
Ooh, yeah. It would be very, like, if there was a thing that would get me to it, and do you know what? This isn't totally out of the woods as a satire thing. Like, if they had a thinly veiled Elon Musk-run Mars colony that was a separate map you could visit, yeah. I genuinely actually think Rockstar could have a decent crack at that. And it would be very fun, because you'd have a third of your mass on Mars, and you could play around with low gravity and, you know, have some weird sci-fi stuff in GTA.
They definitely would. I feel like it will include an electric car.
Yes.
Any game or side mission of some description. James, do you have any great hopes for GTA 6? No. Okay. That's fine.
Magic.
Magic, yeah.
My real Hail Mary hope is actually they do like a reverse April Fool's, and in 6, GTA stands for Gorilla Tricycle Apocalypse. And it's a Vampire Survivors like set in Dudley Zoo. There we are.
And are you attacked by gorillas on tricycles, or is the apocalypse happening to a gorilla on a tricycle?
Sorry, I'm just panicking because I moved my chair and it sounded exactly like a fart.
I thought you were blowing your nose.
No, it creaked and I'm now frozen in a position of intense anxiety. No. To answer your question, you play as the gorilla.
Okay, good, yeah.
Before we move on, I also want to say that as a starving Titanfall fan, I do know exactly how GTA 6 would-be fans feel when they say that Rockstar is teasing them, because multiple times, including a big one just a few weeks ago, Respawn have appeared to drop hints at something Titanfall-related and substantial was in the works, and it turned out to be just... It always turns out to be something for either Ape Legs or ultimately just a very, very minor Titanfall 2 patch or something. And from a distance, you can absolutely point and say, you know, you are literally seeing things. You are believing what you want to believe, but, you know, longing messes with your head. And
do you think do you think it is longing and they were just reading things into the picture of the devil cowboy?
Oh yes, there's absolutely zero fucking chance that there was actually a Roman numeral 6 in that image. But sometimes longing is all you can do in an environment when, you know, new information about games is so tightly controlled. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't agree with them, but, you know, solidarity with the crazy GTA fans.
As someone who has seen multiple posts on Reddit from people claiming absolute certainty that I'm nearly finished on books I've never been approached to write, yeah.
That's for real. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll ask you about that later. That's great. Yeah. But for now, let's move on to games that we have been playing this week. James, what have you been playing this week?
I've got back into playing Darktide, which I feel a bit weird about this. Have I talked about Darktide in like the last 3 or 4 episodes? Because I can't remember if I did. I don't want to repeat myself. But yes, I have got back into playing Darktide. There was an update a while back which like massively expands the character builds you can make. And that combined with like they've added a couple of like good new mission types has just got me like way back into it.
And a couple of new bangers as well.
Yeah, some topper musics to slay heretics to. My current favorite at the moment is I've built like a rock sniper Ogryn build.
Nice.
So he's mainly just about like bull rushing into massive groups and then hacking everyone to death with a one-handed knife. But his grenade is not so much a grenade as just a piece of rock.
Yes, dude, which, dude, I'm doing the same.
Which kills almost all enemies in one
it's
hit.
So and has, good.
And has obscene range. And, yes! and hardly any drop. So you don't have to go like full melee. You can have all the fun of wading into massive hordes, but also when there's like a specialist Nurgle zombie potting
No, it's so good.
Just throw a rock at them and it knocks
clocking someone with a slab from half a mile away.
The best thing is when you're being charged by a mutant, mm-hmm. and if you connect a rock, they die instantly, but their momentum just keeps sending them flying forward. It's the funny Scott. I've never laughed so much playing Darktide as I have in like the last 2 weeks, just because killing people by throwing rocks at them is so hilarious.
They've got the impact just right as well.
They have, yeah, and the sound. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Rock Sniper Ogryn, try it out.
Ditto, same for all of that.
Nate, are you playing anything different?
What have I been doing? Slick on Steam. So I wandered back to Ring of Pain, the game with the owl that had a new update recently, only a little one, but it's just lovely to see that's still being supported. What else? I finished up with the Armenians in Age of Empires. That was a good time. Thought about getting to grips with the new Hearthstone expansion. Didn't. Yeah, no, it's mostly been the Darktide, actually. It's just, honestly, just a very, very large man hurling a slab of reinforced concrete is all the entertainment a person can want sometimes.
So I'm playing a browser game called The Root Trees Are Dead, which is ROOTTRESS. It's sort of a... Tim Scheinman, who made those similar browser games that are sort of like Obra Dinn, but you have to, pick the right people and dates and albums and stuff. The first one was about 80s music. So The Root Trees Are Dead is similar to that, in that the heirs to a huge family candy company, so it's obviously analogous to the Roundtree family, have died in a car crash, so you need to fill out the family tree and get the names and the professions and the portraits, photographs with each person. Once you lock in three correctly, then it will give you a thumbs up and then you get a little bit more information. It's really fun. It's not, because it is like other games already. It's like other games already exist, so it's not hugely groundbreaking, but I think it is very well done. And I've been enjoying it, and it's taken me a while. You have to go through, old diaries and autobiographies, and you use, because it's set in the 90s, so you use like a 90s internet access CRT computer to try and find, records of people in the library and in
magazine. Oh, has it got a fun diegetic UI?
Yeah, yeah. I like it. It's really good. And it's a free browser game that is on itch. And I recommend, if you like puzzly things, giving it a go. There you go. So that's quite an abbreviated what we've been playing this week. I have been playing something else, but it's one of those times where I have to be very smug. Kind of, I can't tell you what it is yet. But I will be able to tell you in a couple of weeks.
It's GTA 6.
It is, yeah. G is for gorillas. Now, we are freeing James from A Good Day to Wear Hard this week, because it's Black Friday.
Yes.
Black Friday week, and James is chained to a Black Friday stone of triumph.
Well, that and also, the whole of PC gaming hardware is, in its entirety, so occupied with Black Friday that it forgot to make anything interesting happen in the last 7 days. So,
oh, no. Okay, well...
So yeah, it's not a good day to wear hard. You say it's a good day to buy hard.
Using RPS affiliate.
Die Hard. Don't know why I made a Tiger Man
starring,
noise. But...
starring Woos Brillis.
Oh, dear. Okay, but, excitingly, this has been promised for some weeks now, but there's some kind of mental Tower of Jocularity, is there not?
There is indeed, yes. Please come in out of the rain and join me in my castle.
What was that?
It sounded like an elephant being sentenced to life in prison. It was meant to be the sound when you click on the castle in Age of Empires 2.
Oh, of course, yeah, sorry, okay.
Do you know why?
No.
Because...
It's
Age of Empires 2. It's Age of Empires 2. Oh, I've forgotten the theme tune from Age of Empires 2. It wasn't a great one, to be honest. Anyway, welcome to the role-playing game of Age of Empires 2. Can I just ask a tiny bit of admin? Could you both bring up on your screen a virtual D20 roller?
All right, I've got my D20.
Same.
Excellent. Okay, so... for listeners who've been away for a couple of weeks, I believe Alice and James already have their character classes for this adventure. Could you just revisit those for us, please?
So I'm Dracula on top of a Korean turtle ship.
Well, you're technically you're the Dracula class multi-classed with the turtle ship.
Yes, that's correct. The turtle ship itself is integral to the class build, I believe.
Are you Korean or Magyar as your civilization?
Korean. I don't.
Okay, excellent. So that means you got a +5 to pop superstardom and also a damage bonus on any arrows fired from towers. So that's good. Alice, what about you?
I picked the purity of just the castle.
Pure Stirling Castle.
Pure castle, yeah.
Okay,
it's Stirling Castle specifically, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I'm taking it you're going to be the Celts, civilizationally. So the adventure starts, and James, you're in a broad bay, an inlet to an estuary. You are a large warship with an iron shell built over the top to repel enemy arrows. And you've got an ornate figurehead at your front, which would usually be in the shape of a sort of divine turtle head. But of course, with you, it's Dracula. so imagine a mermaid on the front of a galleon, but it's a real Dracula.
But when you say a real Dracula, like, as in like a living Dracula, an undead living Dracula, like tied to the front of the ship?
Oh, no, like growing out of the woods. So almost like a centaur, actually, but where his lower body is a Korean turtle ship.
Oh, okay. Weirdly, that makes more sense.
Your character backstory, this was some sort of Voyage of the Demeter sort of shit show, but there was a curse involved and Dracula fused with the ship. But your friend, Stirling Castle, is in trouble.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because Edward Longshanks, the King of England, is planning to hurl boulders at its walls with my fearsome trebuchet, Warwolf. That's the voice of Edward Longshanks, of course the villain in Braveheart as well. His army is encamped across the strait from Stirling Castle, which is not in fact in Stirling, it's been teleported for this adventure. So, James, you're looking at, with your vampire vision, because it is nighttime, you can see, you're in the centre of this bay, the sort of, where it enters the sea, on one side, on one promontory of land, you've got Alice having boulders held at her walls, and on the other promontory, you've got Edward Longshanks' army. In between you is a fleet of 7 Byzantine fire ships. 1 demolition ship and 3 galleons. Alice, behind you are an army of 50 woad raiders.
Sure.
Okay. So, yeah, who's got the highest initiative?
What's happening?
Roll d20 for me, please, both of you.
Four.
Right, and Longshanks gets an 8. So, Alice, you move first.
What?
You can...
Okay.
So, as a castle,
yeah,
you can produce woad raiders. You can research a unique technology, but you don't know what it is.
Okay.
You can produce fanfare noises to communicate, and you can create a trebuchet.
Okay, can I create a trebuchet, please?
Yeah, that's your move, okay. Edward Longshanks, James, can I ask you to roll the d20 for me?
Yes.
And that's going to be, we're going to divide it by 5 to find out how many boulders have been thrown.
Okay. 13.
Ooh, so divided by 5, that's going to be...
2 and a bit boulders.
Yeah, two boulders and 18 rocks. So, Alice, if you could... You've got 2,392 hit points left. You won't take too many more boulders like that. All right, James, your move.
Can I charge forward and bite the big demo ship?
You definitely can bite boats, and you can absorb some of their characteristics, but I'm just saying a demo ship, you know, you can deal with this one at range.
Okay. I'm gonna be the D&D player everyone hates and play very safely by launching a broadside at the demo ship from range.
Okay, excellent. Can you roll the D20 3 times? You're looking for 12s to hit.
Okay, 7.
Splash.
9.
Splash.
I'm getting there. 20.
Kaboomaroonies! Yeah. Oh, okay. Roll another D20 for how many other ships it takes out.
5. But there are,
nice.
Were there only other 3 ships?
No, there were 7 fire ships, but that's taken out 4 of them and 1 of the galleons. So there's 2.
Can I just ask, how would the Dracula ship wear trousers?
So I want you to imagine Dracula's got like a waistcoat that starts like a normal person waistcoat, but then becomes like a big top.
Okay.
And that's sort of over the front half of the ship. I'm glad you asked.
Okay. Good, thank you, yeah.
Okay, so we've got 3 fire ships left, 2 galleons, and they're kind of panicked, so that's great. Edward Longshanks is pretty angry about that.
What? Someone wishes to stop me throwing boulders at Stirling Castle? Roll for initiative.
Okay, so we're on to the second round.
11.
9.
Oh, but I'm afraid it's 14 for Longshanks.
Yeah.
So he's got some transport ships, and he's one transport ship has got 10 cavaliers in it. One has 10 longbowmen, and the other one has 10 men-at-arms. And they're now about to land behind Stirling Castle, where they'll surely make short work of the woad raiders. All right, Dracula boat, you're up.
So I can turn into bats?
Yeah, bats, mist, or dogs.
Can bats fly faster than the ramming speed of a Dracula ship?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Okay, so I think I need to abandon my attack on the Armada and go help Stirling Castle. So I think I'll transform into bats.
Yep.
And, yeah, move over to a defensive position next to the castle.
Okay, cool. We're just going to see how well you manage the best of both worlds here. Give me a d20 roll.
8.
Okay, it's not bad. They're armoured bats.
Oh, nice.
And there's a decent block of them. Okay, and what are you going to do with them?
Harass the landing party.
Okay, interesting. So, yeah, that's quite a good strat. All right, Alice, how are you gonna work with that? So you got these little armored bats wheeling in the sky, and they're doing little wooden iron shits on the transport ships to harass and worry them.
Can I try and take out the landing ship?
Oh yeah, your trebuchet is actually complete now.
So I'd like to aim at the landing ship.
Okay, which one? Do you want to hit the longbows, the cavaliers, or the men-at-arms?
The longbows.
Okay, so that's a -5 to hit because it's a moving ship.
Okay.
You haven't researched unique technology, have you?
No.
Oh, that's a big shame. But okay, that's going to be...
Why?
That's going to be...
Would it... Radar, right? Is that it?
It just would have given you... Basically, the Celt unique technology is... Well, no, hang on. The Celt civilizational bonus, I do beg your pardon, is faster firing artillery. So you've got two shots here, but I'm going to need 8 or under to hit.
14.
First one to bust. Try again.
16.
Okay. Give me another d20. If you get in the upper half of the range, you're going to hit the Armada.
4.
Artillery is not being kind to you. Okay.
Whiffed
the battle is underway between the Woad Raiders and the invading troops with the bats. Alice, do you want to try and fire any arrows at the transports? You could probably still take one out, but it'll be random.
Yeah, 100%.
Right, give me a 12 plus.
2.
Boulders! Another D6 boulders are hitting you. Hold on. Okay, hold it. Your health is down to 2,109 hit points.
Oh my god.
You going to pull this one out for us, Drac?
You said I get a bonus to, what was it, arrows fired from towers?
Yes, that's right.
But I as a ship do not have towers myself. Can I fly up above the castle, reform the ship so that it's like parked on top of Stirling Castle's towers, and then fire arrows from it?
No, your cannons will outrange Edward's trebuchet. This is genius.
You're saying fire my broadside cannons directly at Longshanks.
Yeah, if you can manifest the boat on top of the castle, you'll get a range and a damage advantage from being on high ground.
Let's do that.
All right, just give me a 20 for the accuracy of the transformation.
16.
Oh, that's very good. So the boat, square on top of the castle, broadsides pointed across the bay. There's not enough of the Armada left to challenge you significantly, and you can fire your cannons out of a big, bat head as well, which is very cool. Alice, what's your move here? Your Woad Raiders. There's about 8 or 9 of them left after fighting off the landing party. You are down to 1800 health now because some of the cavaliers got through and hit you with their swords.
Is there a way? Because I was going to ask if I could turn my Woad Raiders into vampires.
Well, if technically, if they drink some of the castle's blood, well, no, some of the boat's blood. It's a gruesome transformation. A lot of boat blood is shed in the process. So you can have them lap it up, sure.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'd like to turn them into vampires, and that, because I'm really regretting not having multi-classed.
They're now vampires. Would you like to send them into one of the transport ships? They're quite damaged,
please.
But, you know.
No, let's just throw them into the fray.
Cool, okay, they're headed across the strait.
Are there any wolves nearby that they could make howl?
Well, the trebuchet, Edward Longshanks' trebuchet is, of course, nicknamed Warwolf.
Oh, can my vampires control Warwolf, please?
You mischievous devil. Right, give me a d20 roll. You're going to need a 15 plus.
Oh, I got a natural 1.
Now my trebuchet Warwolf controls your Woad Raiders.
Oh no.
They all launch their heads at you. Each landing at the force of a boulder. You're down to a mere 817 hit points.
Shit.
James.
I mean, I'm woozy because I've lost a lot of blood, but I think we need to go for broke and just open fire on Longshanks.
Yes. Particularly as we've been recording for an hour already.
All right, you're going to need to roll a natural 20, wink. Go for it, champ.
Five.
What's that? A 20? Natural 20?
No way! That's Dracula's music.
By God!
You activate all of your vampire powers at once, and a mist of bats blasts out of your main cannon, hitting Warwolf the Trebuchet hard enough to break the psychic link with the Woad Raiders, who turn the boat around, headless still, but they're very cross at having no heads. They run out and they just let MMA Edward Longshanks into dust. Congratulations, you were the Age of Empires all along. Age of Empires 2, the role-playing game.
By God, that king had a family. Thank you, Nate.
Thank you, Nate.
That was deranged.
You're welcome.
That just about does it for this week's episode of the... I can't even remember the name of the fucking show. The Electronic Wireless Show.
Dracula's Gaming Podcast.
Every week on Dracula's Age of Empires Roleplaying Podcast, we recommend something that is not a Dracula's Age of Empires roleplaying game. James, what are you recommending this week?
So I've been watching and enjoying Scott Pilgrim Takes Off on Netflix. This is a kind of... It's a bit odd. It's a transmedia mashup anime adaptation of Scott Pilgrim because it has the art style of the original graphics novel and the cast of the 2010 live-action film doing the voices.
Oh, okay. I quite liked that.
And initially I wasn't that into it because the first episode was largely just another version of the film, but without Edgar Wright's directing and editing, so not as fun. But then... No spoilers, but at the end of that episode, it spins off into this completely different, almost what-if style story that has all the same characters but isn't based on an existing Scott Pilgrim story at all. And since then, it's been very, very entertaining. Especially since the film is kind of like prime before they were famous material. So,
right.
So now this, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, has proper like big shot actors like Chris Evans and Brie Larson playing completely against type, doing these like cretinous weirdo characters, which is great fun. I love it. Big fan.
Where can I watch it?
Netflix.
Splendid. That does sound like a laugh.
Splendid. Excellent. I'm going to recommend a friend of mine has a book coming out next year. His name is Richie Craven. You may know him as the man who did a Twitter thread about having the best Christmas in the world by working at Marks & Spencer and then getting an entire Christmas dinner for free, basically. I'm underselling him. He's much more than one Twitter thread. he's written a book. It's called Spirit Level. It's about a young man, or youngish man, I guess, who his friend dies in a drunk driving accident, and then he discovers that he can see him as a ghost and speak to him, but only when he's drunk. And it's a very kind of witty and very funny book about, you know, grief and living and having to be a person. And it's very relatable as well. And it's, you know, I don't know why, and you know what, if you don't feel the same, that's fine, but I appreciate people who talk about mental illness in a way that is, and mental health in a way that is not like, you know, really too gentle, because like, you know, he describes in the book, the character says like, you know, that he feels mental.
Yeah.
And I say that, you know, because when, you know, when I'm having a bad time,
no, I say that too. 100%.
It feels like that, you know, and
yeah, it's not pleasant.
Yeah, and you know, it's a very evocative word, but you also, you know, it's a word people use. I think that's fine, and it's that sort of like level of kind of relatable and normal person, and it's sort of uplit, but without being like too kind of cute and like smug. So, it's not out till next year, like I said, but it's on pre-order now. Spirit Level by Richie Craven. That is my recommendation. Nate, what are you recommending this week?
So this is something I discovered through Steam, but it's not... Well, oh God, we'd be descending into an abyss of discourse by talking about whether it's a game or not, but it's not what you traditionally think of as one. It's a animated film called South Scrimshaw Part 1, which I heard of a long time ago, and it sounded so up my street, I've been refusing experiencing it until this week. But yeah, it's amazing. It is a documentary about an alien whale, and it, as a work of speculative biology, it is absolutely top-notch. Really, really good stuff. Yeah. Very moving. Beautifully, beautifully illustrated. And although, as I say, I wouldn't call it a game, it's got some hyperlink elements with some really, really great world-building tangents. Very witty little bit of storytelling in there. Yeah, great stuff. South Scrimshaw, part one. I think there's two more to come. But I'm absolutely blown away by it.
Well, that's great. A bonus recommendation this week, because you can email us at podcast@robpapershotgun.com. And congratulations to Zach, fake last name, who's a silo dev, whose game Malkin, which is a hand-drawn RPG, came out on the 17th of this month. I have not played it yet, but it looks very interesting, moody. Check it out, and thank you for your kind words, Zach, when you emailed in. If you want to say something nice to us, then, like Zach, you can email podcast@robpapershotgun.com. Nasty things get filtered out automatically. But nobody has. I'm joking. Everyone's been very nice. But you can also email us questions, suggestions, feedback, your predictions for GTA, anything you want, basically. You can find Rock Paper Shotgun on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, X. It's the same as Twitter. Blue Sky, I think it's on now. Just search Rock Paper Shotgun on your favourite social medias. It'll probably turn up. I don't know. But for all of your PC gaming needs, just go to www.rockpapershotgun.com. But for now, it is goodbye from me, Alice Bell, and it's goodbye from James, and it's goodbye from Nate.
Boulders!
Bye.